North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Boeing's 30,000 union machinists voted overnight to strike.
Seattle-based Boeing had laid out an offer that would have raised salaries by 25% over 4 years, but machinist Francis King says that doesn't match the cost of living.
Second, third year, they want to do a 4% gross wage increase. That's inflation. That's what the inflation rate's at.
After the overnight vote... In a statement, the plane maker says it's committed to resetting its relationship with its employees and is ready to resume negotiations. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Ukraine on the agenda as British Prime Minister Keir Starmer visits President Biden at the White House today. They're considering loosening restrictions on Kyiv using Western missiles to strike deeper into Russia. President Trump now rejecting offers for another debate. Meanwhile, he's outlining a new tax plan. Overtime would be tax-free. Vice President Kamala Harris and Trump back on the campaign trail, opposite sides of the country today. Trump in California, Nevada, Harris in Pennsylvania. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission wants state lawmakers to create a new office on election transparency. Administrator Megan Wolf says public demand for transparency is growing. If approved, the office would operate inside the WEC and handle audits and voter accessibility. School districts around Wisconsin will hold nearly three times as many referenda this year compared to last year. There'll be 120 of them on November 5th. Governor Evers says the trend bothers him.
What I'm concerned about, frankly, is that I hear when school districts have to go to referendum just for basics. That's an indication to me that the state isn't doing enough.
State funding has remained relatively stable in recent years, but inflation is forcing school districts to ask voters for more. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Police Department has joined an initiative to hire more women in law enforcement. The department has signed on to the 30 by 30 initiative, which seeks to have 30% of the officers in the department be women by the year 2030. About 300 law enforcement agencies have signed on to the pledge. The Duluth Police Department already has women in various roles of the agency, but officials say they need diverse representation at every level to ensure they're meeting the needs of the community. St. Louis County has received $15,000 of state grant funding to help remove invasive plant species like knotweed and wild parsnips. The knotweed can prove especially troublesome as it can damage the foundation of buildings. The wild parsnip can spread aggressively and could cause rashes, blisters, and increased sensitivity to sunlight in people who come in contact with it. Any resident who believes they have the invasive knotweed or wild parsnip plants growing on their property should contact the county. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuskin with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it will be challenging this Sunday without having one of their top players available.
Jordan obviously is our number one quarterback, and I think every time you take the field, you want your best players available to you, and when they're not, then it can be challenging.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Tomorrow is a big-time college football showdown in Madison. Alabama plays Wisconsin at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a little breezy out of the southeast. Highs around 82 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 57. Showers and storms are possible on Saturday, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the upper 70s. More showers and storms Saturday night.
Currently, 53 degrees.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey! pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's a
gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. We'll get you ready for the big Alabama visiting Wisconsin Badger game and much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. TGIF.
Yep, you said it. Well, I think the weather's supposed to be pretty nice this weekend, too. So.
It's supposed to be pretty nice for the next, man, 8-9 days, man.
Hey, September and October are the best months of the year. I mean, we shouldn't complain. This is the greatest weather.
Yeah, it 80 degrees.
Well, bright and sunny during the day, cool at night. It's like you can't ask for better.
All right. So, I forgot to introduce you. It's Sandy Williams.
Yeah. Well,
it's Friday. So, Sandy Williams is in the studio. Good morning, Sandy. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
All right. So, we've got a special guest on the line. He's none other than Mr. Bob Amsterdam. He's an international attorney. Who represents political leaders across the globe, currently represents the Church of Ukraine, and also serves on the board of the University of Haifa in Israel. Amsterdam contends that in spite of the vast sums of money the Zelensky government continues to accept from a Christian nation like the United States, Ukraine continues to burn down cathedrals, on and on and on. Good morning to you, sir. Good to have you back on the line. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Earl. Thanks for having me.
So to what do we owe, the pleasure of this opportunity this morning?
Well, Earl, the situation in Ukraine for my client, which is the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, is fairly desperate. As you may be aware, I am no friend of Putin. I am a supporter of Ukraine when it comes to its fight for its sovereignty. But they have declared war on a Church of Christ followers. And for that, I do not forgive the present leadership, because the Church is under terrible fire. Priests are under arrest wrongfully. 1,500 churches have been stolen by a new state church they set up a few years ago. And the persecution of this group continues. The Ukrainian government just passed a law that will ban this church. And you're talking about the largest church in Ukraine, 7 million followers. The allegation is that somehow they're connected to Russia. The church avidly denies it. It's a 1,000-year-old Ukrainian church.
Well, it is, however, denominated the Russian Orthodox Church, isn't it? I mean, they now have these two churches you've described. One as being set up by the Ukrainian government, but There are these two wings of the Orthodox Church, and isn't the seat of the Orthodox Church that you're talking about now in Moscow?
No, it's not. And this is a popular misconception the Ukrainians are spreading. No, it's not. This is a 1,000-year-old Ukrainian church. The seat of the church is in Kiev. The leader of the church is Ukrainian. They separated totally from Moscow 30 years ago. They separated administratively completely and denounced, actually, the Patriarch Kirill of the Russian church. They did that 2 years ago. And their only connection to Russia is that from canon law perspective, the canon law says that they still have a spiritual connection to Moscow that has nothing to do with what happens on earth, but has to do with the fact that the church has historically always been under the canonical relationship with Moscow. So it's a spiritual thing. What I say to people who are Jewish is it's like they've kept the same Torah, but the church itself is completely different.
So your point, I think we do understand your point, which is that apparently there is going to be or has been these acts of suppression by the Ukrainian government. They're doing it, I think, under the claim that this is a church that's actually connected to Russia and is somehow controlled by the Russians, and you're saying that that's not true. But this information to the American public, what should the American reaction be to this? Is this an assertion that should affect the amount of aid that you think that should be given
not
to the Ukrainian government? What should the American public do?
The American public should, frankly, have their congressmen and senators speak to the Ukrainian members of the Rada and stop this insanity. The reason this is going on is ultra-nationalism. Mm-hmm. The fact is that the Ukrainians have a 5-year-old church that they're trying to supplant a 1,000-year-old church with simply because of this ultra-nationalism, which we can understand because they're being bombed to hell, and I get that, and we all understand that, and we all sympathize, but banning a church is illegal. There's no basis under international law. There's no basis under Ukraine's own law for them to do it. So all I'm asking people of faith to do is go to your rabbi, your priest, your imam, and get them to speak to the people in Ukraine or the people in Washington that are dealing with Ukraine every day and tell them to stop the attack on this church. That's all we're requesting.
Well, I think that the news media here has paid not probably as much attention to all of this as you would hope, and the news media has simplified it so that I think your description of it creates a greater veneer of complexity for it that people now maybe can understand. This ultra-nationalism kind of plays into the hands, doesn't it, of the people who would point at Ukraine and say that it's in Putin's term, he calls it the Nazification. But I mean, is part of this ultra-nationalism the requirement that the religion use the Ukrainian language? I think that's part of it as well, isn't
it? Yes. Yeah. There's a 40% of Ukraine is Russian speaking, and they've lost their language rights. And this is this attack and the destruction of the church is another part of the nationalism. And you have hit it, and to be honest, congratulations, because you have jumped on this very quickly. The issue is it's put me in an insane position. I'm banned from Russia. Two of my best friends were murdered by Putin. But I've got the Ukrainians screaming I'm pro-Putin because you can't criticize these folks over anything without them saying that somehow you're Russian motivated. And all I am, I'm Christian motivated. I am in favor of Christian, just like the Pope, by the way. He came out and spoke about this and said it was an absolute aberration and wrong that any Christians should be banned from going to their church. And that's all I'm doing here, is saying get out. governments should not be in the spiritual business.
Well,
that's the law of the United States, and that should be the law of Ukraine.
Well, I hope it's the law of the United States, right? We do have that to contend with here in our country in terms of potential intersection between church and state that makes us uncomfortable. But, I think this is interesting because I do think the American public from the beginning of the Ukrainian conflict has failed to understand the cultural complexities of the relationship between Ukraine and Russia, between Russians in Ukraine and Russians in Russia and Russian speakers in Ukraine, et cetera. And I believe that possibly our government has played a role in creating some of these problems. I think the Maidan Revolution in 2014 and the nationalist response after that was the beginnings of this in many respects, wasn't it?
100% right. Yeah. And I will say, and I won't get into it here, that when the story comes out about how much of this problem in Ukraine in terms of the church was actually developed by a woman named Victoria Nuland in the State Department, it will be a scandal. Because believe me, the only reason this national church was established was because of her and Secretary of State Pompeo interfering in church affairs. So you're absolutely 100% right.
Yeah.
So for those of us who aren't as astute as my co-host Sandy Williams, we are looking at this, entering the third year of this war, and the investments that our nation has made, and the fact that it just appears to be no end in sight, and now we're hearing about this internal struggle and fight that's taking place. People would think that there would be unity.
This has been our argument from day one. What are you doing? This is craziness.
Well, I think it's an interesting point you bring up, and I think the history of the Victoria Nuland and the Pompeii situation thereafter are both interesting bits of information that demonstrate the complexity of the foreign affairs that we conduct as a country, which our populace has little or no knowledge about, and we end up being instructed later as to what it is we should be thinking and doing, but not necessarily knowing what led up to it. And I think that I've talked about this before the invasion of Ukraine, but I think that the situation in Eastern Europe and Ukraine was something that needed to have had to have nuanced thought and not simplified thought. And I'm afraid that what Victoria Nuland did was totally opportunistic and was based on a simplified we-they kind of concept. And I think that not only are we bearing an expensive cost as a result of that, but lots of people have been killed.
You're 100% right.
Hey, Bob, thank you very much, as always.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you both so much for having me. All the best.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday, and it's so good to have my co-host Sandy Williams in the studio. We'll continue the conversation. Actually, since we're talking about Ukraine, we're going to talk about another aspect of this war. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepolls.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
All right, Sandy, you know, I don't want to hear about the summer days drifting away.
Well, that's what the music's about. End of summer, September. That's John Travolta.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right. And Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. Well, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy. Sandy, just listening to that, and we were going to be talking about Ukraine anyway later on, so we might as well get into it now. Biden poised to approve Ukraine's use of long-range Western weapons in Russia. So before we get into that.
Well, let me say, that headline might be misleading because I think Blinken has flirted with this concept before, talking about the fact that it's something we might do. And Blinken has again flirted with that same subject. But in the past, every time he flirted with it, Biden refused to do it. And so I'm not sure that this is foreboding of the notion that he's going to approve it. But and from my standpoint, I hope he doesn't.
Well, the Washington Post this morning, President Biden appears on the verge of clearing the way for Ukraine to launch long-range Western weapons deep inside Russian territory, as long as it doesn't use arms provided by the United States, European officials say.
Oh, well, those aren't U.S. missiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that we've been controlling their use of non-U.S. weaponry in the past anyway. It might just be a concept of strategic counseling that we've given them. I think the real danger is if the United States authorizes them to use United States equipment, okay? And it could be that what we're talking about is U.S. equipment in the hands of Europeans, and the Europeans have now provided it to the Ukrainians. And that stuff does require, I think, U.S. support, because I think the U.S. is involved with the GPS guidance of those missiles, even when they're in the hands of third parties. And if that's the case, then they are tantamount to being our weapons. I don't know that to be the case.
So the issue which has long been debated in the administration is coming to a head on Friday, today, with the first official visit to the White House by Britain's new prime minister. Britain has already signaled to the United States that it is eager to let Ukraine use its Storm Shadow long-range missiles to strike at Russia's military targets from the Ukrainian border, but it wants explicit permission from Biden in order to demonstrate a coordinated strategy with the United States and France, which makes a similar missile. American officials say Mr. Biden has not made a decision, but he will hear from Starmer on Friday.
This is not U.S. missiles, and it's not U.S. guidance either. It's British. I suppose what's really happening is they're trying to decide whether they'd be solid with respect to Article 5 of NATO were Putin to respond to either Britain or France for providing those weapons by doing something to Britain or France directly. I mean, here's the problem with the Ukrainian war currently, and that is that Russia hasn't overrun Ukraine, but they have overrun the Donbas region. And they have continued to control the Crimea, which they've controlled since 2014, when they had essentially undefended. They took over Crimea in a matter of days. They announced their intent to take it over. The Ukrainians did not resist. They took it over in a very short order. And so this war has really been about now Ukraine is attacked by Russia because Russia wants to make sure that Ukraine doesn't become a NATO base country, number one. And number two, they were looking for official recognition of their control of Crimea and Donbass. They didn't control all of the Donbass now. They don't control quite all of it now, but they control more of it. But meanwhile, the West has provided Ukraine with, I don't know what the total is, but I would guess all countries in over $200 billion of aid. And all of the countries are basically exhausted with respect to their political resources to continue. The most recent media coverage has suggested that both Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, whichever gets elected, would have trouble getting any more money out of Congress for Ukraine. So Ukraine has sort of reached the end of a string, and now they're a little more desperate. They aren't able to sustain land war, which is very expensive. A much cheaper form of warfare that creates leverage would be missile attacks into Russia. But missile attacks into Russia can be viewed by Russia as an escalation. It's an odd war. The rules of warfare are odd. And the rules of politics are odd. Ukraine is sort of fighting with one arm tied behind its back because Russia can send missiles from a distance into Ukraine, but Ukraine isn't in a position to deter that by sending them the other direction. The reason being that the allies of Ukraine are not really full-blown allies because they don't want to put troops on the ground. They don't want to fight the war against Russia. They're just willing to arm Ukraine. And that willingness to arm Ukraine is beginning to grind down to the point where, you know, if aid to Ukraine stops, it's altogether likely that Russia will have its way with Ukraine, as everyone thought they would in 2021 when the attack was carried out, or 2022. And so I fear that some of this politics and some of the decision-making might be based on the sunk cost. We've already given them $120 billion. If now they get overrun, that'll all look like wasted money.
Well, Sandy, we can't prevent Russia from having its way with Ukraine unless we're all in.
Well, that was my point. That was my point in before the war started, which is this notion of realpolitik. If we're going to be all in terms of a huge expense and huge commitment and huge overhang of obligation
and threats of nuclear war,
then we better have the strategic interest in the land, in the geography, that's sufficient for us to be willing to do everything, right? But we're not willing to do everything. What we really want to do is be remote from this and provide munitions and money. And so because of that, we're sort of put one of our arms behind our back and said, look, we can only go so far here. And the question is, how far is so far? And quite frankly, authorizing extensive attacks into Russia has much more downside for the United States than it has upside for Ukraine, because even with that, this is still going to be a negotiated settlement. The tea leaves are easy to read. It's going to involve the recognition of the Crimea control by Russia. It's going to involve giving up a great deal of the Donbass, and it's going to involve neutrality for Ukraine. So, you know, that's my concern about the current situation.
So clearly the decision and Joe Biden making a decision this close to the end of his time as the president is nonsensical. Is it safe to say?
I don't know. I'm not the expert. Okay. But so far we have kind of incrementally approved more and more extensive actions by Ukraine against Russia. And so far Russia has not taken direct action against us or other parts of the West, but you know, at some point.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. On the other side, you know, Donald Trump demagoguing immigrants, you know, from Haiti. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community.
It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz comes to Wisconsin today. He starts his weekend this afternoon in Wausau, then goes to Superior tomorrow. This will be Walz's second visit to Wisconsin in 2 weeks. He was in Milwaukee on Labor Day. Carrying your Social Security card with you makes you vulnerable to identity thieves. The SSA's Abigail Zapote says it's really not necessary, especially if you have your number memorized.
We do ask that folks, first and foremost, not carry their Social Security card around with them, whether it's in their purse or their wallet. Usually that's an easy way to be able to lose their Social Security card.
There's more information about keeping your identity safe at ssa.gov. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Boy Scout troop in Superior is calling for community support after a trailer filled with equipment was stolen from an event. The trailer was stolen on Saturday night at around 8:15 from the parking lot of the United Presbyterian Church off North 28th Street. The troop is hoping to recover the trailer in the next couple of weeks before a planned camping trip with the equipment in the trailer. The Superior Police Department is investigating the theft, but the troop is asking residents to keep an eye out for the labeled trailer. One person was injured and a University of Minnesota Duluth building was evacuated following a minor chemical explosion on Thursday. According to the Duluth Police Department, the person suffered minor injuries, but they were sent to a nearby hospital for treatment after being decontaminated. University officials say there was some minimal damage caused by the chemical explosion. Authorities have not shared what chemical was being used when the explosion occurred and the building was cleared for ventilation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. At Nightlight, we talk about movies and TV and everything involving the arts. Sometimes we get a great suggestion from one of our guests of what we should be watching, and the other night was just such an occasion. Guest and author comedian Roger Rittenhouse recommended the action drama film Rebel Ridge, starring Aaron Pierre and Don Johnson. Pierre is currently working on the Lion King prequel as the voice for Mufasa. Turns out he's pretty good at the live-action stuff, too. He plays a soft-spoken, mysterious victim, or so we think, as he is pitted against a crooked small-town sheriff played by Don Johnson. Also in the film is David Denman. You might know him from the sitcom The Office as Roy, Pam's fiancé. Denman is carving out a nice career for himself, choosing different roles and at times playing offbeat bad guys. The movie is like a smarter version of Rambo. It's available to stream on Netflix, and it's getting a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a little breezy out of the southeast, highs around 82 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 57. Showers and storms are possible on Saturday, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the upper 70s. More showers and storms Saturday night.
It's 60 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just,
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, will join me in studio. Trump gets some charges dismissed, and Merrick Garland made a speech. We'll talk about
it. The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Sitting in my car outside your car. Sitting in my car outside your car.
All right, I know that's the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Woods, and Sandy the Music.
About the end of summer, it's all music that's rejoicing the great time everyone had this past summer. And this is all music that kind of reflects that.
So, Sandy, you and I didn't get a chance to talk about the debate. We're going to talk about the debate. And one portion in the debate where Donald Trump vilified the Haitian people and stood up before the world and said that these people, illegal immigrants, which is a lie, these people are not illegal, are eating, stealing people's pets, dogs and cats, and eating them.
My dog heard that, and she won't go outside anymore. She's very, very wary. No, I mean, it's first of all, it was craziness, okay? And I think everyone recognizes that, but now—
Not everyone.
Course, no, not everyone, but of course— But, well, now, then the people who support Donald Trump, including Donald Trump, have to double down on this and come up with some kind of a justification for the notion. You know, and at the time, all the only factual basis he could ascribe to it was that he saw somebody on television.
Yeah.
You know, that was his immediate factual response to the fact-checking that was done. But, you know, the fact is that, and anyone now wants to attack it because he says Haiti's a failed nation. Well, actually, most of our immigrants have come to this country as the result of something that feels to them like a failed nation. That's why they're leaving the country where they live to come to another country. That's not because that country is terribly successful. You know, we don't have a lot of Norwegians knocking on the door wanting to emigrate to the United States because, you know, life is great in Norway. You know, this is exceedingly troublesome because what he was really trying to do is paint a picture like he does when he talks about Hannibal Lecter, who wasn't an immigrant, but was a horrible criminal. So he's trying to paint a picture. He says, look, these immigrants are horrible criminals.
Yeah, and
incidentally, a horrible criminal can look like Hannibal Lecter and be a cannibal. Now he's got to make them horrible by the fact that they're eating your pets. But, I mean, those are all craziness. That's a crazy concept that's designed from a marketing standpoint to paint immigrants as heinous, heinous people that you need to be terribly afraid of, which couldn't be further from the truth in terms of their actual law-abidingness. They're more law-abiding than Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Right, yes.
Okay, than we are.
Because they run the risk of being, you know, pushed out.
Well, and they might just be a hardworking, striving people. You know, the notion that someone leaves their country and picks up everything they've got and moves to the United States tells me that those people have quite a bit of gumption, right? They're actually doing a great deal to improve the lot of their life. And when they get here, they're probably going to work very hard to justify that move. And that's what's happened. The history of immigrants in the United States is that first and second generation immigrants are the most successful cohorts, meaning group of people that you might analyze amongst all of Americans. And they've been that way since the beginning of time in America.
You know, Sandy, when there was pushback by the moderators on the story, Donald Trump pushed back again. And not only did he push back, many of those who support Donald Trump said that this was a true story. And then in today, CNN Politics, Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance acknowledged that it's possible the false claim that Haitian immigrants are abducting the pets of Springfield, Ohio residents might not be true. He encouraged his followers to continue posting cat memes anyway. So J.D. Vance is admitting that none of that was true.
Well,
so Sandy, help me understand that this man could go before the world and say this and say, okay, it wasn't true. It's not true. But how did he let that get to the present, to a man?
He not only said it wasn't true, but he says, let's strategically, hey, this thing has some this thing has some marketing appeal, so stay at it.
Yes.
You know, don't stop it. You know, well, here, let's just talk about the consequences here because they're not innocent, all right? Springfield now has a bomb threat. The city is under lockdown. The attention that was focused on it by Donald Trump in this debate, and now by J.D. Vance and other of the MAGA Republicans who are trying to justify what was said there, has had an actual dangerous reaction. In Springfield, it's endangered a whole lot of people in Springfield, or at least potentially has. And number two, it's just a display of the cynicism of this. I mean, you would think that you would talk about strategies that were based on falsehoods and pure marketing. You would do that privately. You wouldn't put out a tweet that's public to basically say, hey, gang, stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with the cat memes. It looks like it's working. Even if the story's untrue, it's kind of nifty the way it works.
Also, here's what J.D. Vance said yesterday. In the last several weeks, my office has received many inquiries from actual residents of Springfield who said their neighbors' pets or local wildlife were abducted by Haitian migrants. It's possible, of course, that all these rumors will turn out to be false, Vance posted on X. Do you know what's confirmed? That a child was murdered by a Haitian migrant who had no right to be here, Vance continued, also pointing to the impact migration has had on health and educational services. So Sandy.
Well, the singular, they keep wanting to point at singular
one situation,
singular crimes,
right,
amongst thousands and thousands of people. When you look at the data, okay, about what the percentage probability would be for crimes amongst a large assembled mass of people, the potential crimes would be far greater. The other thing is that these immigrants have been the source of the growth in our GDP. I mean, they fail to talk about all the positives associated with immigrants. They only want to vilify them because it seems to have political traction. That's why Donald Trump killed the bipartisan bill, because the problem, and being able to talk about the problem, the ability to exaggerate the problem, the ability to talk about Venezuela emptying its insane asylums and prisons to send those people as immigrants back, emigrants to the United States, which is false. All of that stuff gets traction politically, gets people who
right.
call in here all worked up about something that isn't factual, number one. Number two, those immigrants end up being the source of our GDP growth. One of the forecasts, if Donald Trump carries out this mass deportation that he talks about, is a substantial shrinkage in the rate of GDP growth as the result of all of the growth that is, in fact, contributed by this group of people who are immigrants in the United States.
So, Sandy, help me out. I thought a lie was supposed to be something that you tried not to be uncovered. If you're going to lie, you don't want everybody to know that you're lying. You're trying to hide something.
Well,
right?
Except if you get a reputation as being a charlatan and a grifter, it's kind of okay because it's who you are, right? This guy exaggerated. Now, lies become exaggerations if you do them openly and notoriously and regularly. It's just this guy exaggerates. He's not grounded in the truth. Just take everything he says, take it with a grain of salt. And that's really what Donald Trump relies upon, is that he can say all this stuff and his followers and everyone else are privately saying to themselves and saying to others, look, just take it with a grain of salt. He's not going to do that stuff. This is just a show to get himself elected. And once he gets elected, he's going to do all these great things.
Hey, Sandy, when a lie is uncovered, you don't tell a lie.
Well, these people, the uncovering of this was that the Springfield police and other authorities have all said that there's absolutely no basis for this.
Right.
So now Vance has to talk about letters supposedly that he's received, but of course they might not be true, which suggests me that what might not be true is that he's received letters as well. But the proof would be in that pudding. He might want to produce them if he wants to talk about them. But in any case, I think that this situation, while we can laugh about it, it's been the subject of a lot of jokes. I've seen memes with frightened dogs listening and talking about this, my dog included. But it's not funny, okay? And the fact is that vilifying immigrants for pure political purposes and not solving the immigration issue that we have in terms of how we address and carry out orderly immigration processes is inherently evil. Xenophobia was an inherent evil. When we studied history and we talked about and we read about the xenophobia that existed in this country in 1910 and 1920, when we read about people being described as Mix and Wops, Polacks,
right,
and being vilified and marginalized, we read that knowing that it was evil, okay? That xenophobia carried out in that manner was an evil process that was either political or whatever it was something that we needed to get over. And by the 1950s and 60s, we thought we had gotten over it. But the pendulum swings, apparently.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. You know, thank you, Sandy, for saying three quarters of the way through you're talking about it, that it isn't funny. And there are cultures that it is okay to do some of these things. That's how they survive.
What does that have to do with saying they did it in this country?
CJ, that doesn't mean they did it. This has been, this has been the meme. This was the meme actually against Chinese immigrants, against Korean immigrants, that they ate dogs, okay? And maybe they did in their country. And maybe I don't know what various cultural groups have used in the way of food in their past or in their history or in their time of crisis. We had episodes of cannibalism in California during the problems of pioneers moving west and getting stuck in a pass. These things might happen, but talking about them, it's like the posters in World War I showing Germans with their pointed helmets with babies skewered on the helmets.
CJ, so
I didn't want to call about that. Okay, the mere fact is Lakin Riley's name wasn't mentioned. You know, the mere fact that what has gone on with illegal immigration, and President Trump was right to point at her and say, you're the border czar.
No, CJ. We are talking about the fact that J.D. Vance told a flat-out lie along with Donald Trump about these Haitian people stealing people's pets and eating them, and here J.D. Vance is admitting that it was false.
Well, I think we're talking about more than that. I think we are talking about a political strategy of vilifying immigrants. I think that Donald Trump believes that the border problem is his ace in the hole with respect to politics, and he demonstrates that, and CJ's demonstrating it right now. We do have a border problem. We have had a border problem in terms of the numbers of people presenting themselves and how it is we've been equipped to deal with their presentation. The numbers of illegal immigrants have been vastly exaggerated, but they are very numerous, okay? They number in the millions, not 21 million, not 15 million. The number of presentations isn't the number of people who actually enter the country. The number of presentations, I think, was 5.6 million or something. I think the number that's estimated to have entered the company is in the 3-plus million number. But the fact is that Donald Trump killed the bill that was designed to solve it. And so it's now the political Trump card.
So we do know that the immigration issue is not new. Not new. 844-967-2789. Hang on, guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, Don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy?
Well, this is Maggie May. We didn't get to it. Maggie May, Brad Stewart. Maggie May was his girl of the summer. This is music, people reflecting over the wonderful summer they just had.
Okay, so Trump claims Haitian migrants destroying way of life in Ohio City. So, Sandy, he didn't just talk about them eating and stealing the pets. He went on to say they're destroying the way of life of that entire city.
I think he said that later, actually. I'm not sure that was a quote from it. But you know, that is the horror that's always painted about immigrants.
He said this yesterday.
That they're bringing with them their culture, not our culture, and that their culture. But, I mean, the fact is that every wave of immigrants that have come to our country in the past have been assimilated. And their assimilation has leavened the American culture. And, you know, we can say that about essentially every wave.
So let me ask you, what is the American culture? Since America is a melting pot.
Well, that's the point.
People from all over the world. What is the American culture?
Manifest Destiny included not only the notion that Americans would travel over and settle the West, but the manifest destiny as well was that America would be the melting pot. It would be the unique country in the world that had pieces of all of the world in America making up the American culture, and that therefore our culture would be leavened with all of this diverse culture from the rest of the world, creating the best possible environment. That was, and manifest destiny was viewed as God's will. It was viewed as what was great about America, and yet we've had these waves of xenophobia that have been politically resonant, okay? And the William Jennings Bryan period in the turn of the last century, when xenophobia became a cry that we have to save America from this onslaught of foreigners, from the yellow peril, that was the Chinese, from the Eastern Europeans, the Polish, from the Italians, you name it.
So part of this issue is that this misconception that the American culture is the European culture.
Well, the earliest wave of immigrants was European, but we've had substantial input from other cultures, from the Chinese, from the Japanese, from the Koreans. In fact, every country we've gone to war with has ultimately involved a great deal of influx of people from that war zone to our country.
So the cultures,
many Japanese, many Koreans, many Afghanis, many Iraqis. So, you know, this has a lot to do with the fact that the world has gotten to be a smaller place and the involvement of the United States around the world has broadened. But I just think the shameful thing is that instead of trying to get our arms around how it is we want to choose the number of people that immigrate and then choose the process for that immigration, instead what we've got is a political movement that wants to simply attack immigrants and describe them as people who are coming here to destroy to destroy our way of life.
The cultures of the entire world are here, and we've accepted that, right? I mean, that's been what made America what it is.
Well, we always have experienced at different times waves of immigrants, and we are experiencing a wave of immigrants now. Some of it has to do with global warming. Some of it has to do with political unrest. Some of it has simply to do with the capacity of people to move in the world now in ways that they couldn't move before. You can get here on an airplane easier and faster than you can on a sailboat.
And it's needed now more than ever.
Well, we've had the demonstration is that immigration has been a very important part of the growth of the American economy since the residents of America, without those immigrants, have a less than replacement rate of childbirth.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Well, first of all, for CJ's information, this has been a problem since ALF was a weekly sitcom on TV, okay? it's been going on. It's been a political football. But I want to talk about something that's a lot more nefarious that's going on. While we're all, dipping and diving and watching our gifs about these cats and dogs being eaten, there is a huge push in the online ecosphere of trying to pit Black Americans against the immigrants because, this is something that I'm seeing online a lot. Now, a lot of it's coming out of Chicago, and I do understand the population down there is being stressed with the large amount of people that Abbott threw up into the city of Chicago. But this is something that they are functioning with. China's busy doing it on TikTok, and you got Elon over there in Texas pushing it on X. And they are trying to, one way or another, start some kind of race war going on in this country. And they're pushing it right out into the online ecosphere. Just watch what's going on, okay? And you always have a guy in the bottom of the screen with his finger pointing up going, see, see? Or people making comments about restoration being taken and used towards the money the immigrants are receiving as they get to the country. These people are busy pushing a race war, and we better open our eyes and try to cool the temperature. Otherwise, we're going to have a bigger problem on our hands,
Brendan,
whether this idiot gets in office or not.
So, Brendan, let me say this. As a Black man who is aware of what you are saying, Black people aren't falling for that. I don't know anybody in the circle that I travel that is really concerned and worried, even though Donald Trump, did try to light the wick saying that these jobs, they're coming
taking
to take
black
our black
jobs. Yeah.
Black people aren't sitting here focused and concerned on, hey, they're coming to take our jobs. That's not happening.
Well,
it may be on the internet, but it's not a major issue inside of the Black community where the Black people are looking to eventually,
But I think it is a demonstration of the extreme cynicism of this process. Divide and conquer. Divide us, get us fearful, get us angry with one another, reawaken tribalism. All of these things are primal political tools, okay? And they are designed to disrupt society because society offers us something greater than tribalism unless it doesn't.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the lines, guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer at 10:33 from the Recombobulation Area. Hour number two, if you know some young wannabe aviators, young eagles, don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you?
Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. Plus, earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.